Well, good morning, everyone. It really is a special morning. We have lots of things that we need to work through now. It's, of course, an induction service. And so we have new pastors to induct. We also have some outreach ministries and other internal ministries that we would like to honor. We'd like to bring before you. We would like you to pray for and to bless. Just before we do that, let me just begin with a few opening comments. Hopefully you've got a bulletin when you came in. And usually we have a few inserts in there. And one of them is a congregational letter that pertains to this induction. We just want you to have all the names of the people that we're praying for, the names of their families, their children, a breakdown of their responsibilities, so that there's a little bit more detail than maybe we'll be able to cover this morning. So I hope you'll be able to have that and take that home. Last Sunday, we took a look at John chapter 1, verses 4, and there was a phrase that we spent considerable time on, and it's this, that in him was life. We followed that like a golden cord through the Gospel of John. The emphasis that Jesus has on life and giving life and making alive. And this morning, I want to briefly touch on one of the derivatives of life, because I think that it touches upon what we're doing today. One of the byproducts of life is this, that living things grow. Living things, they grow in size, they grow in stature. We might want to say they grow in food quality. I mean, we talk about a plant becoming ripe, meaning you don't tend to want to eat it before then, because it's more edible as it grows to maturity. And living things grow. They grow in their ability to reproduce themselves. And if that's true of the natural order of things, then that's also true of Christ Church. And we have an awful lot to be thankful for, that over the last many years that there has been growth has occurred in our church, and it's not happened because of our competence. Love to say it had, but truth is it hasn't. Because of our cleverness or our personal charisma. But I would say to the degree that Jesus has allowed for his life-giving presence to be amongst us, it's his life. And the life that comes by his presence and by his spirit, it's his life-giving presence that it makes us grow as people. It makes us grow in our discipleship. It makes us grow in our relationship and closeness with him. It makes us grow in our body, in our depth, and it makes us grow in numbers of ways. And that's where our worship and our credit is to lay. And I want to make that very, very clear this morning. A couple weeks ago, as we were planning and preparing for this morning, and I was just praying through the scriptures, I couldn't help but thinking about the call of Abraham. How that God came to a man called Abraham and gave him promises so profound that they're still alive today. They still haven't completely reached their fulfillment. And so even we find Paul in the book of Galatians reminding us of those promises and saying that we are participators in those promises. So Genesis chapter 12, God comes to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in such a great way that the result of it is you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth. God comes to him again in Genesis 15 and reaffirms that promise. God comes to him again in chapter 17 and using slightly different words again, reaffirms that promise. Chapter 19, God comes to him again and says the same thing. Chapter 21, almost like he wants to convince him of something, comes to him repetitively. Now, I must say that my reading of those texts is a little different than it was years ago. When I was 29, there was a strong kind of call to revival in Canada and pray for Canada, pray for the nation of Canada. So I felt convicted during that time to go on a 40-day fast. And during that 40-day fast, I felt like the Lord did a considerable cleansing of my heart. I need that again and again and again. So for some of you, the Lord could do it in 24 hours, 40 hours. Obviously, in my case, There's a lot more cleansing to do. And it took 40 solid days. And I meditated on something in the Gospels. I meditated on something called Phariseeism. And I said, Lord, cleanse my heart of that, wherever it might be found. And one of the things that he did in that point was to show me certain judgments that I'd made and to convict me of those and show me their wrongfulness. And you know one of the judgments I'd made? Now, it might seem ironic to you. One of the many judgments of my heart was a judgment about big churches. Because I had made judgments. I thought if they grow and they're big, they must be doing something wrong. They must be cheapening something. They must be compromising something somewhere. They must be sacrificing quantity for the sake of quality. And I felt God took me to Genesis 12, 15, 79, to the promise of Abraham, where God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you will have descendants that are as many in number as the stars of the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. And I felt the Lord ask me, was I compromising, Todd? Was I compromising that I promised he would have so many descendants that you wouldn't even be able to count them? Was I compromising quality for quantity? Was I all about numbers, Todd? And I felt God convict me. God absolutely hit me right on the head. And I realized I'd come from a background of smaller rural churches. And you know, it was hard to know how to get past 80 or 100. And maybe in those settings, they don't ever need to be. And in order to justify my existence, I'd made judgments about someone else's. And I humbled myself, and I repented during that time. You know, when God made this promise to Abraham, you'll have as many descendants as stars of the sky, he didn't turn to God and go, God, you're all about numbers. God, no, just give me 3 kids, but make them real good quality ones. Genesis 17. First few verses there that said, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Wow. That produces repentance in my heart this morning. Lord, if I've been blameless, I certainly haven't been. Have I walked before you like I should be and been blameless? No. That I might make my covenant between me and you. And this is what God says to him. And that I may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham, when he heard that, fell on his face before God. And God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, the father of nations, the father of multitudes. For I've made you the father of a multitude of nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will bless you. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. The Lord can do that to a family. The Lord can do that to a business. The Lord can do that to a ministry. And make you exceedingly fruitful. It says, I will make you into nations and kings will come out of you. I will raise up out of you people of influence. That is one of that makes my heart jump. When I think of those words, I think of you. God is producing young leaders out of you. And I'm like, Lord, make kings come out of us. People that will go to the ends of the earth. And they will be people of influence and people of authority. And they will extend your kingdom. I will make kings come out of you. Well, it's God's presence and God's blessing, and not our own cleverness that has produced growth. However, once God does make you grow, that's when the work starts. That's when the work really begins. We are obviously a church with a lot of young families, and there's a whole lot of excitement about having new babies. There's been babies born to the church again, every week, but again this last week. It's become a truism. There's kind of hardly a week goes by that isn't the case. And there's certain adjustments to be made that I used to underestimate. People were like, Todd, you just love traveling and ministering, but wait till you have a baby. This is going to really cramp your style. I remember us always underestimating. Oh, come on. How much work can it be? I did. Come on. Am I the only one? I was like, come on. It's like this big. Like, how much work could that possibly be? And how much adjustment could you possibly have to make? And I was in for a big surprise, especially we got three of them now. And there's a lot of adjustments that have to be made. It's ironic a little bit because when I was growing up, a little afraid of babies, maybe because of their fragility, maybe because they're leaking from both ends. But I don't remember ever holding a baby or ever wanting to. And so this began to be a bit of a problem after I was married, that Sherry spoke to me one day about the possibility of having children, and let's just say the reception she received wasn't warm. I wasn't a keener on the idea. But the way life works is that she became pregnant, and in the manner of things, and then she's not sure how to tell me. Because we'd had this big discussion a few months earlier only, where I showed no optimism. And now she has to find a way to tell me. So she felt the way to do was buy me a card and write it out. So one morning, just as we're kind of leaving for our days, she gives me a card. I immediately think, what did I forget? Because I don't have a card. You give me a card, I give you a card. That's the way it's supposed to work. So I opened it up, and the picture on the front, I still have it, is a picture of a giant egg with the top broken off and a baby's head peeking out. And I said, Easter? And she said, no. I'm like, anniversary? No. I'm like, eggs, babies, what? She said, read it. So the first line is, this purpose of this card is to tell you that you are soon going to be a father. And like it was just, I can remember the first thoughts that went through my mind. And the first thought is, I better be careful what my first thoughts are. Because one day I'm going to have someone that's going to ask me, so Dad, or my kids call me Papa, Papa, when you first heard that I was coming, what went through your mind? And I'm going to have to be able to answer that honestly. And so I didn't want to say to them that the first thoughts was, oh, rats. But here's what went through my mind. And it was what got through God's mind, I asked myself, the moment I was born again. I'll tell you what could have went through his mind. Oh, no. This guy is going to be considerable work. He is just going to sin. And he's going to disappoint me, and he's going to disobey me. And the worst is, he's going to just do it with unceasing regularity. I thought, and it would all have been true. And yet the Bible says this, there is so much joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Just heaven just has a party. Heaven's not preoccupied with how much work it's going to take, knowing that's actually true. But there's so much joy in heaven when one sinner says they'll turn to him and believe in him and become a child of God. That whatever work you have to do, it's all worth it for that supreme joy. And that's what happens in your family, and that's what happens in mine when God adds a child or a grandchild. Yes, there's going to be all kinds of work, and there's going to be all kinds of adjustment, but our heart is preoccupied with something else, and that is the enormous joy that our family was added to. And then it's out of that joy that we say, yes, it's going to be some work, and there's going to be some late nights, and there's going to be some adjustments, but if you don't have the joy, then none of that is worthwhile. But if you do have the joy that God added to your family, then you can take everything else in stride. And if that's true of your family and mine, then that is also true of God's family. That God's blessing looks like multiplication. I will bless you, Abraham, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And our hearts are full of joy. Abraham just worshiped. It says he fell on his face. He's just humbled and he's thankful. And he's worshipful. Just fell on his face before God. And we fall on our face before God. 70% of you were not here 3 years ago. So the 30%, we take a moment and we thank God for you. We thank God for you. We celebrate you. We love you. And whatever adjustments we have had to make or will have to make in the future, we consider it all joy. And we consider it worthwhile that God has blessed us. And that blessing has looked like multiplication and growth and sending you. And we are very, very thankful. And that will be, God willing, the way of our future. So if you get those ideas, and if you can celebrate those ideas with me, then we'll probably get along real well. Okay? Probably get along real well. Because as long as God continues to give me grace, there will never be a day in my life where I think, Lord, I don't really want to reach one more person. That will never happen as long as God continues to grant me the grace. And I know I speak for you. There's never going to be a day where you think, Lord, I don't want to see anybody else saved. Will there? Ever going to come a day in your life where it's, I don't want to see anybody else blessed? That I don't want to see God's grace come to one more person? May the grace of God ensure that that never happens. Well, when God causes something to grow, that means growth is relatively easy. Caring for that growth properly, though, is where the real work is involved. And we want to take that very, very seriously. And that's what has brought us to this day. People may think, 5 new pastors, isn't that overkill? Depends how much you want to care for people. Depends how seriously you take your responsibilities. God adds to the church, but guess who cares for them? God through his people. And that is a solemn responsibility. And that's one that we want to take very seriously. I want you to have pastors to care for you, to love you, to train you, to meet with you. And probably most importantly, in helping them find their calling, now really their job is to help you find yours. In releasing them to their calling, their whole job is to help you find yours and to release you to yours. And that's part of the joy of the day. I'd like to invite our 5 inductees to the stage, if I could. Can I get the microphone? Thanks, Ryan. Come on up. I'd like you to be able to hear from them. As they come up, you may think, hey, I've just been sitting beside that guy in the pew for the last years, worshiping. Yeah, it's true. I wrote in the letters, just like us, just we're all the same kind of people. And they were just sitting here, and God spoke to them. And they said yes to what God was saying. And something was activated in their calling. And the same thing is true of all of us. We just have callings in different areas. But this is the kind of stuff that happens when we gather together in the Lord's presence.
Hi.
Yep.
My name's Stephen. I've been in River of Life for about 1.5 years, so I'll tell you a little bit how I got here. I was raised in Ontario for 18 years. I was a Go Leafs Go, right, Joe? I was raised in Ontario. I was a pastor's kid. And I always knew I was supposed to be in ministry. I always knew I was called to ministry. And a week after I graduated high school, I've known Ryan Matchett for years, and I came out west and helped him lead a mission trip, and I just really felt the Lord call me out there. And there was a discipleship school that I went to for a year with Ryan, and Lindsay Blanchard was actually there as well. And that just furthered my desire for ministry. I've always known that God had called me for that. And I mean, over the next 5 years in Strathmore, that kind of got pushed to the back of my mind, and I went through some stuff that wasn't necessarily great for me, and I got married, though. That was great, and I had a daughter. That was great. but yeah, just I went through some personal stuff, and when I came to River of Life a year and a half ago, I was just at a place of brokenness and probably one of the lowest points in my life, and through the work of the leadership here and the young adults, like, I've changed so much in this year and a half, and like, I can honestly say, standing here today, I'm a completely different person than I was when I came here. And the thing that really drew me here was just the teaching. Like, Ryan was invited to Leadership Academy, and he brought me down with him, and I was looking to go to Bible school anyways, and I just couldn't believe the caliber of teaching I got for free on a Sunday afternoon with Todd, like, just sitting for 3 hours, and he was just informing me of so much theology and doctrine, and just it was so fascinating for me, and I was so hungry for it. And then we came to a Sunday morning, and Pastor Bill preached, and Ryan and I drove home for 2.5 hours or an hour and a half, and we just couldn't believe the sermon. It was like, that was the best sermon we've ever heard. There was so much meat in that sermon. And we always joke, like, Pastor Bill will use the entire Bible as a reference for a sermon. Like, he just has so much knowledge. Like, most people do 2 or 3 scriptures. He just goes Genesis to Revelation and does it all. So that was the biggest draw for me here. It's a church that has such high quality teaching. And to be here and just sit in the pews and learn under such phenomenal teachers, and the Spirit just working through them, it's just incredible. So that's how I got here today. I'm incredibly excited. I didn't think this would come when it did. When Ryan asked me to come on with him, it was really a dream come true. We've always talked about serving together, and to be able to do it with our wives, it really is a dream come true.
I'm Lawrence Kopp. I think to explain how I got here, I'll go back about 4 years where I think my life was going pretty well. Wanda and I have 2 girls, Joelle and Jeeva. They're both at university now. Our family was doing great. We were having fun together as a family. And I had a good career with the Alberta government. I had had opportunity for lots of training and advancement, and I had lots of influence there. I was helping people. I felt fulfilled. And I was involved in lay leadership in my church, and was doing things there. And overall, I think, you know, I felt like I had God's blessing and favor in my life. If you want a picture, it was sort of like a bush, maybe like that. That's a bush there. It was nice and full and round and growing, and it was great. And then about 4 years ago, God started to prune things. And God doesn't prune with a whippersnapper. He doesn't just come along and blow things off. He just slowly and consistently said, I'm going to take that away. No, we're not going to do that anymore. And so my role in my family started to change as the girls got older and there were boyfriends and then husbands. And whoa, just stuff was getting out of control. My career changed. I sort of got stuck in the mud, seems. And I wasn't being effective. I lost interest in that role. I didn't want to do the next step. And about 2.5 years ago, I moved to Energy Smart, and that was a great move for me and a great place to work. But every day it was like, okay, God, whoa, I'm going to need you today again. Because I seemed over my head most of the time there. And I lost my voice in my church. It just seemed like God's presence wasn't there for me anymore, and I was working in my own strength. And I came across, somewhere in this process, I've come across Zechariah 2:13. It says, be still before the Lord, because he has roused himself. So be still in terms of being quiet, but also just stop moving. Stop doing stuff. And I remember when we came to River of Life here about 2 years ago, and Brian Fuller was around, and he was talking about connection groups. And I remember going to him and saying, oh, we can help with connection groups. And so he got us connected into a group, and I thought, well, we're going to help you. And they didn't need our help. They ministered to us and cared for us, and we didn't do anything. And it just was consistently like that, a message of wait and stop. And by the time that was sort of finished, I didn't have a bush left anymore. I was more of a twig. And that's when God said to me, now let's talk about you a bit, and let's work on you. And part of that process was going back 20 years ago. I was on the track to go to overseas missions or work in a church, and we took some training toward that end, and that train got derailed in a major kind of way. And I said at that point, I'll never do this again. So this time has been a time of making connection between what I know about God and what's in my heart. Excuse me. And understanding that the Holy Spirit works in my heart and that I'm a child of God. And so when Todd said, I don't know, maybe 7 months ago, you want to work at the church? I said, not a chance. So no one's more surprised than I am that I'm here today. But I just marvel at God's work. You know, he's amazing.
My name is Chimurdo Nicholson, and I'm the one that needs an interpreter. yeah. Often people say to me, what did you say? So I have got used to that now, but it's a real joy to be here today with you as a church, as a family, and to feel loved and just belong to this wonderful body that we call River of Life, but more importantly, to belong to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were asked to sort of share what sort of brought us here, maybe what sort of events and so on. And I was thinking about it. I thought over the last probably 46 years of my life, there's been various events that have sort of brought me and prepared me for such a time as this. But I just want to bring them down to maybe five areas, five significant points, I think, brought me to this place today. In 2002, I should say, Debbie and I were married. Debbie is from Canada, and Todd, who was her friend and still is her friend, married us, and that was a really wonderful and a blessed time. Todd was living in Skye. I met Todd in the Isle of Skye, and we became good friends, and he poured into my life, and he was a great encouragement to me. Sometime in 2002, at the end of the year, some friends and I who were ministers and in university together, we used to go away for a time of prayer for 3 days to a small highland village called Applecross. And during that time, one of my friends prophesied into my life, and he said, you'll be leaving the Church of Scotland soon. God has another ministry for you. And I thought, wow, you know, in fact, you'll even be leaving the country. And I just couldn't, you know, really get my head and my thoughts around this, because all I ever knew was Scotland. In fact, I was 40 years old before I first left Scotland to go abroad. I did go abroad to England one time in the year before, but to really go abroad, I think we went to Greece, and at the age of 40, that was the first time I left Scotland. So that was quite an important time for me. 2004, we came to Canada for the first time. And we spent one night here at River of Life. And I remember Todd brought me down just to show me the church. And it was in the old sanctuary next door. And I just felt God put something in my spirit and my heart, and that one day you'd be back in this place. A year later, in 2005, I was given permission by my church for a time of study leave. And so we left Scotland and we came to River of Life for a month. And up to that point, I was in the ministry for 8 years, and all I ever knew in 8 years of ministry was, you've done this wrong, you've said this wrong, there's a fault here, there's a problem here. So it sort of starts to work on your self-esteem a little bit when people are chipping away at you, and you don't think that you have a ministry worth offering anymore. But through Pastor Bill and Todd, I was loved, I was poured into, I was blessed, and I was affirmed. And I thought, yes, I have a ministry, a God-given ministry. And these men and this church family were such a wonderful support to me. The last Sunday we were here in 2005, in that month of January, I was baptized in the church. And this was a major turning point for me theologically, because we do not practice adult baptism in the Church of Scotland. We have sprinkling of kids, splatter some rain on them. So that was a huge shift for me, and theologically a big shift for me. But also, I felt the presence of God in church that Sunday in a way that I've never done before. James Syrett was singing this song, "To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear." And one of the verses says, "Lord, I need to meet you there." If you've ever watched the film Braveheart, you'll see Scottish men are proud men. You know, we throw rocks at each other just to prove our manlyhood, and we pull arrows out of each other just to test if we can put up with pain. You don't see Scottish men crying, but I was on my face in the church that Sunday morning, broken before God. Not broken out of shame, but broken in the love of God. It was cleansing, it was healing, it was affirming. And it's a time I will never, ever forget. The end of 2005 was a hard time for us in Scotland. Debbie had suffered a miscarriage. Her brother had died here in Canada. And then things really went pear-shaped for us in the church. I just said, enough's enough. I'm not putting up all this stuff from people anymore, and particularly from our elders. They were just ripping us apart. And we left. And we spent a year in the island of Lewis, where I'm from, northwest Scotland. And that was a very hard year in the wilderness, where there was illness in the family and so on. But towards the end of that year, God came and spoke to us again. And he came with a verse from Genesis chapter 12, when he speaks to Abraham and he says, "Leave your father and your mother and your home and go to a land that I will show you." And we knew that it was Canada God was calling us to. We had no finances to speak of. We didn't have a home that we could sell. We had nothing. We came here literally with three suitcases. It was a huge step of faith. You know, you read about these things in books. It happens to someone else. It never happens to the likes of me. You know, I'm sure you're in that situation. Yeah, I can believe it for a missionary, these super missionaries or these super church leaders, but God can't do that for me. But I saw the provision of God and the love of God to us since we took that step of faith and we came here. God blessed us with a beautiful home, with wonderful landlords, Charles and Darlene Yonke. Couldn't have got better landlords. God provided for us a wonderful job with Integrity Builders, with Nathan Newdorf, Grant Frederick, and Willie Rieger. Couldn't ask for better employers than these three men. Fantastic. He provided for us a church family. And I want to say today to you as a church, you have loved us. And you have affirmed us, and you have healed us in our hearts from our brokenness and from our frailties, so much so that we can come now to the point and say, yes, we can continue in ministry. We can continue in what God's called us to do. When I left the Church of Scotland, I vowed I would never wear this thing around my neck again. Now, I want to tell you, this is the only day you're going to see me wear this. This just shows I'm healed today, and I'm ready to go. So, thank you.
Well, I'm Sean LeClaire, and I did this at the early service, so I've got to do it here. I'm a Christaholic. And just kidding. Incurable. It's an addiction I'm okay with. My story, it's hard. How do you squeeze your story into 2 or 3 minutes, right? So to kind of give you a snippet, where our journey began here with River Life was about 4 years ago, but it kind of goes beyond that. It's for as long as I can remember, I've always loved the Lord, and for as long as I can remember, I've always felt a call to ministry in whatever form that took. And when my wife and I moved here 4 years ago, we had come through a situation where our church pastor had passed away all of a sudden, and there was lots of trouble within the church that we were going to at the time, people backfighting and that sort of thing. And so we, Aaron and I had spent 3 months on the Isle of Skye with Todd. We met John Murdo there, Debbie there. I'm wearing Isle of Skye tartan here. Todd, that's for you. In any case, we just decided to call Todd. We thought, you know, if anybody can help us sort of walk these things through, our spiritual father was removed from us. We didn't know how to process the thinking. And so as we did that, I just felt like the Lord was beginning to stir within our hearts that he was bringing a move. And so shortly after, we found ourselves moving here to Lethbridge. And in our time here, we really found that it was a time of tremendous healing for us. It was a time of reworking the way we viewed God, the way we viewed how church should be, and just really created a situation for us of real health. And so for us to be here and to be in this place is a real milestone for us, to know that we're in a church family who is loving, who is caring, and where there's, you hear the theme even just now, this continual theme of healing, that here's a safe place that we can come to where the Lord can prune, or he can heal, or he can mend brokenness, or in our case, he can help us view him correctly, and he can help us love people the way they need to be loved. And that's a direct result of River of Life. The way that you have loved us, the way that you have taken us in, and the way that you have nurtured and grown that within us is a tribute to God's work in your own lives. And so that's a little bit of our story on how we got here. And more to that, we just want to thank you for doing that, for being an integral part of our lives that has brought us to the place where we feel that we can return that love, where we can feel that we can return that investment into your own lives. And so our story has brought us to this point, but our story doesn't end here. Our story is a legacy of what you've put into us already. And so I just want to thank you for that. And that's our snippet.
Well, good morning. I'm Bruce Mertz. And it's interesting that Todd should sort of pick on the topic of callings and what is God's calling for your life. And you can listen to our stories perhaps and kind of be interested in and hopefully get to know us a little bit better in terms of where we came from and what got us to here. But I hope also maybe that you're hearing today the Lord say to you, like, what does he have for you? What is God's hope for you? And what does it take for you to lay hold of that? And I remember one preacher saying that we're all about the destination, but God's all about the journey. And if someone had said perhaps a year ago even that would my wife and I be here, been like Lethbridge, Alberta. We were living in the Lower Mainland in BC, but it's funny how the Lord leads. It's awesome. I love the way he does it. And we want to go from here to here, and he says, first go here, then go there, and eventually gets you there, and all these things you learn that are necessary to get you to the right place and be ready for it. And so don't be discouraged if you're sort of wondering, God, when and how and why is this now like this, but just rather trust in the journey and just let him love you and just enjoy the moment. But anyway, more about me, perhaps. so I actually have an education background. I taught high school and a little bit of college for about 10 years or so on my journey. And my wife, we only married a year and a half ago. She's about 5 years taught elementary school. And I guess the last couple of years have been a year of the Lord's fulfillment of promises in my life. And so there we were living in Abbotsford, substitute teaching, because then we could travel. We did some ministry and missions, and I did some itinerant preaching and so forth. And last summer, after a pretty heavy season of ministry, we were pretty tired, and we thought, let's just go visit our families. And I said, hey, let's, and she's got some family in Alberta. I said, let's go visit Jeff and Trina in Lethbridge, and one of my favorite families on the planet. She hadn't met them yet, and so I was like, let's go visit them. So we did that, and they began to just tell us what God was doing here. And our hearts were evidently stirred, because after we drove away, I asked her, could you see yourself coming to Lethbridge maybe, here in ROL? And she's like, yeah, maybe. And because we've been wondering, oh, what's next and where do we go? And so options and choices. And over the fall, we came and visited here a couple times and realized deeply, and making a long story short, that this is where God wanted us to be. And so here we are. And so we've just felt so, I just want to say thank you. We felt so welcomed and received here. And I'm just excited because, you know, when you're in the right place at the right time, that's where the explosion happens. And so, you know, look like what you thought it might look like. This is amazing. We've loved it. And so I'm just happy to be here with my wife. Get to see you in a second, I think. And just look forward to getting to know all of you. And just kind of like Todd said, helping you find your calls and us working together to build the kingdom of God here and see his fullness in Lethbridge, in ROL, in our lives. So, thanks.
I'd like to ask the inductees if you'd just spread out along the front, if your wives would come and join you. And also, invite the elders. We have a wonderful eldership in our church. The elders who have, in the best interest of the congregation, made these decisions. Can I get the pastors, or the pastors, Pastor Bill, to come up and join me up here? Pastor Ron, visiting from Florida, and is adopted part of our church family. Also, we have what we call the ROL Ministerial, which is, we have 17 even retired pastors in our church. And also some of, can I get them to come just in support here? And you're like, I see the Clarks out and others, and people who are a really important part of pastoring our congregation. And I'd also like to get Stephen Barber, his dad is a pastor. And do you want to come, or you want to sit back and take photos? You do as you want. I just do want them to feel appreciated here today. I'd like to begin with a scripture reading. If we could get Ephesians 4. Just put it on the overhead screen, please. And if as a congregation we can say this as a public reading, let's say this out loud together. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. There's more coming. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Pastor Bill and I are going to go down quickly and anoint with oil, and then we're going to ask them some questions, and I'm going to have you as a congregation extend your hand to them and pray for them. But even now, would you join me, and let's pray for each one of them and all that are gathered at the front also. Father, we follow the ancient apostolic practice of identifying those that you have called. We follow the practice of Acts 13, the Holy Spirit said, set apart unto me Paul and Barnabas. So the church did what the Holy Spirit said and laid their hands on them and sent them. And it says, and so they were sent by the Holy Spirit. We set him apart, Stephen Barber. I pray that everything that he needs to fulfill this call would be given to him now by the Holy Spirit of God. And that he would operate out of this deposit for the rest of his life. All the giftings and unction, understanding, character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for Lawrence Kopp, who You were brought to your kingdom at such a time as this. In your divine will and timing. And we anoint him. And through the laying on of hands, we set him apart for the work to which you have called him to do. And we pray that the fullness of your Spirit would be in him and would overflow out of him. That the story you've given him would spill over into many, many other people. That he would have a specialty in helping people find their calling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He will not be found wanting. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. It's even out of John's gospel. And what was true of that John is also true of this John. He prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. And so does he. And we honor and call forth even the revival anointing that is on him. Like John the Baptist, the revival anointing to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus' presence. And Lord, you have sent him here, Lord, to fertile ground where the plant that he is, the tender shoot, could grow up before us and the plant that he is could reach fruition. We pray that in this soil he would grow and bloom. We say, blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. We say over him what is not said over him in his own nation. Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for him and his whole family, for all of these families. You have sent them as families. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, when I just pray for Sean today, I just know the things that were spoke over him in his infancy. That you're just looking down. Nothing is surprising you. It's all working out according to your foreordained plan. And what a plan it is. Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge the blend of giftings that you put in within him. And we honor it all. Thank you, Lord. Just newfound liberty. Those of you who don't know, he's also going to university and training to be a lawyer. And we thank you that in this day in which we live, why cannot those two not go together? Like, why not? It's a call here, it's a call in the marketplace, call to the legal system. It's one God, one kingdom, one calling. Many applications. This will be true for many of you. Okay? Many of you. You must see the prophetic significance and even the people that are being set apart because they're foreshadowing. They're you. And they're gifts to you. Hallelujah. The Lord arose and gave gifts to them. Hallelujah. mark you with the sign of the cross, for you were purchased by his blood. This is his inheritance this day. Not just about us. This is Jesus getting what he paid for. Hallelujah. Lord, say over him the same things you said over Saul on the road to Damascus. I have appointed him. Thank you, Lord. That Acts 9 calling. Things that you said over Saul, who later became Paul, are also true of him. Thank you, Father, for him and his family and the gifts that they're there. Thank you for sending them here. Holy Spirit, fan and flame that gift. Fan and flame that gift. Like to ask them some questions. I think they might be put overhead so that everybody can see what they're agreeing to. Do you believe that you are called by God and moved by the Holy Spirit at this time to undertake the pastoral ministry and to serve God by the promoting of his glory and the building up of his people? Do you understand, accept, and seek to further the vision, the values, and the doctrines of this church? It belongs to the office of a pastor to faithfully minister God's word, the sacraments, and pastoral care. Will you gladly and willingly do this?
I will do so.
Will you diligently seek to order your own lives and that of your families in such a way that you will follow the teaching of Christ and his apostles and are thereby wholesome examples to the flock of Christ? Will you be diligent in prayer, in the study of the scripture, and in setting aside all worldly cares and activities which hinder you from doing your duty?
I will, by God's grace.
If I could just get the people supporting them praying just to go to the sides and get the inductees and their wives to turn and face the congregation. Will you take into your heart this congregation and the community in which our congregation is placed? Will you do all that you can possibly do to love, care for, and train them, as well as protect them from all discord, schemes of darkness, and false gospels? I invite the congregation to stand. Extend your hand, if you'd be so kind, toward them. By the laying on of hands, I, together with the elders and pastors of this church and the entire congregation together, pray that God will put his Spirit upon you for this task. And together we authorize you to exercise the office of pastor with confidence, with surety. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to bring the others up first and then get you to pray for them. You can take your seat. Thank you. We just have some more names. between services. I dropped off. Some other names just I'd like to bring to the front and pray for. First of all, some people that have been active, leading and even building some really key ministries in our church. I'd like you to see them, particularly because it's working with your children. And I'd like you to see them. Can I invite Dave and Lindsay Blanchard to come to the front, please? Who have been doing an amazing job. We are so proud of you and so thankful for you for building the junior youth ministry. Why don't you come up here so that everybody can see that mustache? I mean, everybody can. Look at this. I know you're thinking, oh, you know, is that what my son is going to look like in a couple of years? David Lindsay Blanch. Can I invite Jimmy Ray to come up, who's working with our youth group? Our senior youth. We're going to pray for him. So appreciate the work he's doing with our senior youth. We also have some outreach ministries that are really important to us. It's really important to me that we commission them on the same morning as pastors, so that you can see in that we want to pastor our congregation well. But people that are not don't yet know the Lord and are not yet part of our congregation or any congregation are vitally important to us. So the two sides of that mission may be represented here. I'd like to invite Corey and Martha Hunt to come to the front. Corey worked for years with Kids Alive in the city, a very, very fruitful ministry. Martha has been working with our own children's ministry, helping to build that, was our summer intern, and we love her too. And knew her, in fact, even before we knew Corey. And they're going to work as national directors over children's ministry, which will be all across Canada, including other countries, with an organization called Power to Change. Blake Waters? You think Blake? Blake, I was preaching in Calgary, at a small growing church in Calgary, and Blake and Alan came with me, and it was just like, they just went through like tornadoes through the place. And just blessed. Blessed people's socks off. And I had a conversation with Blake the following week. He says, I feel like I'm supposed to do more of that. And he says, when I get sent out from our church without severing ties, but sent out from here to serve in other places, he says, I'm just feeling increasingly alive and have so much to give those places. And so we are going to commission Blake as an outreach ministry of our church. He's going to the Philippines in not very long from now, to Africa shortly after that, some itinerant stuff, some even churches right here. I feel like the Lord is even putting some churches right in this city to come alongside and support. And so he will be, as a congregation, he'll be our gift to them to come alongside and bless them and support them. And it's a joy to be able to send you today, Blake. But one other name I'd like to bring, and that is Mallory Christiansen. Mallory came to Christ in this church, was water baptized here, and Charlie in the prison ministry. Who's all in the prison ministry here? Can I stand for a minute? Because I just want to, Andrew, I can't see Jean Suzanne today. I just want to honor them. They do such a good job. And they have taken Mallory and helped Mallory find something that she says, this is a life calling she's entering into. And thank you for what you're doing to help people find their calling. And I just felt like she just represents something of what we'd like to see more. People coming to Christ, getting baptized, getting discipled, finding their ministry. That's kind of the way it should look. Kind of what it's about. And now she's out there every week, ministering to people across the, over at the prison. And wonderful. If you look at her, you think, wow, how does she fare there? Oh, she can hold her own. Once again, can I get the congregation to stand, please? Can I get you to face this way? And Pastor Bill. Right. And can you bring in oil, please? Ron, come help. I know that we're it's just really important to me, us, to pray for these. I did. Heavenly Father, just extend your hand toward them. We want them to, every young ministry in our church, every young leader, to have every advantage. That's the reason we exist. God, the truth is, they don't exist for us. We exist for them. Thank you for David and Lindsay Blanchard. And thank you that they are gifts. We love them, appreciate them, and respect them. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill them. We pray that every side of their call would be advanced. We pray for David in the media. And we pray that you would give him also in that field a supernatural favor, an anointing, and that you would surprise him how fruitful he can be and how much influence you could wield through him. And likewise for Lindsay, for all that she does. She's a mentor, a youth mentor. She works with an agency in the city, and she's outstanding. And we pray for over her like a daughter, like a beloved daughter in this church. David, we are proud of you. Lindsay, we're proud of you. You've done well. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for Jimmy Ray. We mark you with the sign of the cross. We set you apart. We pray that everything that you need to fulfill God's unique and wondrous calling on your life, and wherever that will take you around the world, we'll give it to him now. We follow the ancient apostolic practice. Jesus did this to his apostles. His apostles did this to the next generation. And so on. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for Corey and Martha. And for this day, we send them. They're not just going. We send them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray that they would be sent with their sails full of God. Full of God. To bring the gospel to children. Jesus' love for children. He brought the children unto him and he blessed them. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless children through them, Jesus. May the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord be upon them. To bless children and to bless those who will bless children. We're proud of you. We are confident in you. And we send you. So you know, as a congregation too, your money, we're sowing into them financially so that we can support them in many ways. We'll probably run an information time after church. I want them to tell us all, maybe upstairs over coffee, and for us to hear everything they're doing so that we can intelligently get behind them. What do we pray over Blake?
Help.
Blake, we are so proud of you. And Blake, you have served us well. And we want you to have every confidence in there. In the New Testament, it says they sent out people that first made full proof of their ministries. Oh my goodness, have you blessed us. And now we release you. And we send you wherever the Lord would lead you, across the town or across the world. Come alongside new church plants and young pastors and missionaries and wherever the Lord Jesus would send you. We send you, and we are honored to be your home base, as with Corey and Martha. And may you find a new freshness and fullness and liberty and a greater healing as you step into this. We're behind you. We believe in you. And Mallory, we're always looking in our church for things that look like first fruits. The Lord brought you here, saved you, baptized you, and now the supreme joy there is in anointing you for the tasks that he has. In honoring you, we honor the prison ministry. We honor Charlie and all those that are involved in prison ministry who have labored faithfully for years. And we want you to feel the support of your church family, that you are not alone. It's the beautiful thing about being sent. You don't cut ties. You're not all alone. Bless you. May the Holy Spirit break out in prison. I don't know if I should pray that he set the prisoners free. But you get the idea.
Real prison break.
We get the idea. Let's just show how warm and welcome, how much we love these. Yeah. Bill.